faith, and especially how about there? That sounds better? Okay. As I get older, the trumpet doesn't blow as loud as it used to either. So a couple practical things we want to talk about. And I did have here, I did want to pass it around. I thought some of you might like to see it. What does this look like when you get a group of ASWs, house parents, and crew leaders together? And here was the last crew that was down in Mayfield, Kentucky. I don't know if you're familiar what happened down there. Tornado touched down and blew through the state and just ripped up towns one after another. That place, there was one big brick building left in the town. I believe that was about all that was there. So they basically had lots of work to do while they were down there. And it was an excellent, excellent time of working together. So choosing a project. I want you to be thinking already, but I want to say this. Talk to Ken. We are planning, the Eastern region is planning and working with Wayne Hirsch in Ukraine. There's roofs to put on and houses in Ukraine, and Wayne wants to partner with us to set up a base over there. But I'm going to say for you that are new, just starting a new committee, don't plan a foreign trip for your first one. Port Arthur, and you can talk I can't think now what Blake. Yeah. Anyway, speak to him about the possibility, but there are a number of openings. I'd love to have you be able to line up with Phil for, there's openings this fall, possibly next spring as well, for Port Arthur, and that is an established base. So when a DRS base is there, the bunkhouse and everything is there, the tool trailers are all there, you don't have to worry about organizing all that stuff. When we went to Haiti and did an oversee, we had to take everything that we needed. And we had to make do in some arrangements that were less than ideal because of the limitations of what was already established. So I'm going to encourage you, the new groups, the new committees, the first thing you want to do is start meeting together, talking together, whether that's a physical meeting or by emailing and just being communicating. Those that have been kind of looked at here as the ones in charge, you can organize that. You can have that committee then have an election, vote on who should be the leader. I'm going to say stick with the one you got. You don't know where it's going to go. Just let the one that's there going to take charge and has shown interest and been here. And then if you think it's good, we have an assistant and we have a secretary. We have a treasurer. Someone ask a good question. Where does the money come from to do this? That's part of the deal. If you're coming on with CASP, you need to be ready to cough up the cash. So what we do is, when we say it takes five churches, yes, it takes five churches because you're going to need for that many people to help, but you're also going to need from the finances. So we ask the Eastern Region churches to take an offering once a year, and that helps with CASP and the expense for CASP. We've never had a shortage. A CASP project, the cheapest we've ever had would have been about $10,000, and the highest was about $20,000. Foreign projects, you know, there's lots of young people who'd love to be globetrotters and see the world. And I don't blame them. That's a lot to see out there. But in order to weed that element out, we have made it necessary for the young people that are going on a foreign project to pay their own travel. So when they're paying their own travel, they get a little more serious about whether I want to spend the $500, $600, $800, whatever it is, to get there. If I'm serious about this as a calling in my life, something we need to do. So we need staff for every project. You need program director. So the program director is trusted to ensure adequate supervision of the ASW's daily operation and activities. He is responsible to maintain good records and assure compliance with all CASP and Harmony CASP policies and guidelines. Program director also serves as a pastor or spiritual leader for the team and is ultimately responsible for the spiritual and moral environment of the service unit. You could say house parents. You want to pick a mature couple? How you come by that, some of our CASP units from the 20 churches have different methods. Some of them put out the need, what they need, and they look for volunteers. We have typically so far discussed in our committee and then went and kind of tapped on shoulders of people that we thought were mature enough and able to work with people well, and they could be good house parents for the CASP unit. So how you do that is probably critical, because that's going to be your leader. That's going to be your face in that project for the month. And then we have project coordinator. It depends on some projects we've had. There was a DRS project, and CAM actually had a coordinator in place. So we've had that already. That was how it was in Mayfield, actually. It's not always that way, so it's going to depend project to project. But if you need a project coordinator, and that project coordinator, basically, we look to the project coordinator to provide direction regarding work to be completed by the service unit. He will relate directly to those we are assisting, verifying the scope of the project, ensuring materials are available, determining the manpower required for the various tasks. His duties will also involve on-site training and supervision of the ASWs, ensuring the safety and efficiency and workmanship of the entire crew. Now, so this man is in charge, basically, the house parent is in charge of everything outside of the workplace. But when it's work time, then this man, your project coordinator, he's in charge. And so he's going to have crew leaders under him. It's very organized. There's a plan. There's a plan in place, and we want to have it that way. And then that's important to pick someone that's knowledgeable in what you're doing. So if you're talking about building, you can't send someone down that only knows farmer carpentry if you're going to build new homes. I'm a farmer carpenter, but don't send me to build new homes. You're going to be sorry. So you need to be careful how you pick that person to be qualified, and they have to also know that they're going to be working closely with the program director. Each one has their responsibilities, but the program director ultimately is in charge. It's important to set from the beginning who's in charge of what if you want to have a peaceful operation. All right, so the next is crew leaders. Crew leaders can actually be the age of an ASW. This last one, if you look at those pictures, Melvin Lapp and Jeremiah Stump would have been ours, and they were young married men, brought their families with. That was nice there. But then we also had one, Caleb? Enoch Hoover, who would have been one of the older of the ASWs, but also had carpentry skills. So we try to get someone that's a little bit more skilled to be crew leaders. You don't have to have someone highly skilled. Two of those men I just mentioned were highly skilled, and I'll be honest with you, we had a little bit of trouble with them running right ahead of the project coordinator. And so you got to kind of tone them down a little bit. Now, again, keep in mind we're from Lancaster, Lebanon County, Pennsylvania, and we're Schusslich. We got to go, okay? And that's not always a good thing to do on a CAM project, all right? Especially if you're running ahead of a coordinator who comes from the South. Don't do that. Don't do that. We want to make friends, not enemies, right? That's what we're there for. Okay. Resident assistant is a role that we have created, and we find it very, very helpful, so I'm going to read about it. The resident assistant will be selected from the ASWs to assist with administrative duties. He will be expected to develop good understanding of the vision, policies, and procedures established for CASP pilot project. He will assist the project director and program coordinator with their respective responsibilities as needed according to their specific instruction. The resident assistant is expected to model exemplary behavior and to have a humble Christ-like attitude. Guess what the problem was that brought this on? No one was in charge, so no one turned out the lights in the boys' dorm. A little detail. So we decided, let's put one man in charge above the ASWs. One of the ASWs. Put him in charge that sleeps in the dorm with them. And, you know, anybody's conduct's a little out of order, or someone needs to turn the light off and make the decision, hey, it's lights out, boys. It's him. So that's his main role. But it has helped smooth things out so much for us. So we're learning as we go. We're going to encourage you to try to learn from the mistakes of ourselves and others. When we sit together, it's one of the blessings of sitting on the board at CAM, is hearing the others what worked, what didn't work. And we've saved ourselves some headaches. And finally, I'd like to talk about one role that's not really spelled out here in my book, but one role that's extremely important, and that is housekeeping and laundry duties. The program director, his wife, you need to let her and all others that are helping. So if there's wives of crew leaders, or if you have decided to take some young single ladies with to help with, depending on the work, some work's been really dirty. We cleaned up after floods and hurricanes, and we had boatloads of muddy wash to do, and you can't dump that all on just the project coordinator's wife and expect her to make dinner too. So you got to make sure you have enough staff to take care of the cooking, helping with getting stuff together for lunches and whatever else has to happen. But someone needs to be in charge. And as long as there's someone in charge, we've had smooth operation. If you put four women in the kitchen, I'm going to tell you, too many cooks will spoil the broth. So you need to have somebody in charge, and they should delegate them the rest of the duties. And that has made a smooth operation for us. So just encourage you to think about that. Okay, other practical things. Let me get here to. I wanted to let you know now, Brother Phil talked about the responsibility we have, the accountability conduct, minimum code of conduct from CASP, the main organization of CAM. That is the minimum. And we are all permitted then as individual units to set even a higher standard if we choose to, or to detail some other standards as long as we're maintaining that minimum. And so here's what Harmony came up with. Accountability. ASWs must receive permission from the project director or program coordinator before leaving the base for any activities. ASWs are expected to maintain their personal space and help with the dining hall duties and cleanup tasks as required by the administrative staff. Don't expect the girls to do your work. Right, that's the idea. ASWs, make your own bed. ASWs should be prepared to share in teaching duties and worship assignments as requested by the program director. So this is not just about getting work done. In the evenings, there's a program. There is something that's happening every day. Your hours are laid out almost like a military boot camp. Time to get up, and what you're going to be doing in every segment of the day, all through the day, till you go to bed at night. That's all going to be laid out. And so there's going to be an organized plan for spiritual training. It could be a book study, a Bible study. That's something that's up to the coordinators and those that work right in the staff. They get an approved book if they want to, or plan. Now, the other is vocational training. Some nights they would have vocational training. Some nights they have volleyball training. Maybe they don't need a lot of training, but anyway, they have volleyball. It's not all, you know, bookwork. Try to have a balance. Weekends, they sometimes have, they've really been trying to focus on going and visiting other Anabaptist churches in the area. And that's what has happened in Mayfield. They actually went up to Illinois to a Haldeman church one Sunday, and they were at a pretty conservative beachy church one Sunday, and so if not, they have services there and have the church right at the compound. Depends on your situation, what you're going to find when you're there. But we need a plan in place. ASW participation is mandatory for all activities, trainings, and duties. It's not up to you to say, I don't feel like it. Now, appearance. ASWs are asked to dress appropriately, applying the principles of modesty and nonconformity in the style and color of their clothing. Men are to wear a button-down shirt and modest trousers. Jeans, not designer jeans, are permitted for work purposes and base activities only. Women are to wear a dress and to conceal the form with a double layer, i.e. cape, vest, or jumper. So you say, well, why are you spelling this all out for us? Well, remember what we talked about, the funnel? When that Peace Corps person who says, I want to go be part of this CO, and they're not a Christian, looks over this. You know, they're given several options. You can go here, you can go here, you can go here. And they look over the options, and they say, I don't want to go there. not trying to be restrictive, but we are trying to keep it tight enough so that we can screen out some potential problems in the future if there's a draft. All right? And it doesn't hurt us either. It really doesn't hurt us. We give you an example, had one crew leader who said, I don't own any button-down shirts. I said, I buy all mine at the secondhand store for $3 or $4. Get a couple and go with it. You know, you're helping maintain an example of compliance. And that's important. It's important for what we're doing. The government thinks it's important. So it's good for us to rethink that, maybe just a little bit sometimes. Electronics and music. Personal cell phone usage is not permitted on the job site or during any planned activities. Moderate cell phone use is permitted between the end of workday and the evening activity, but not during supper. So that basically gives about a window of an hour and a half or so, typically, that they have that they can use a cell phone. Other than that, we're not having... You're going to be there. We want you to be there. We want your thoughts to be there. We want your mind to be there. And we don't want you getting homesick. So don't be calling home all the time. It's not good for you. You're there and be focused. That's the idea. No social media access permitted. Internet usage should be very limited and shall not be disruptive to the work schedule, social structure, or program. And the only reason we put that in, we would discourage you from using anything internet. But there are some of the crew leaders that have to do certain things that almost require some. So anyway, that's the way it's written. Musical instruments are not allowed on site. Listening to recorded music or sermons is allowed during personal free time, but only godly a cappella music is permitted. Worldly forms of music like country, rock, jazz, CCM, etc. are not permitted. Leisure activities. All leisure activities are to be God-honoring and without question. Rook and other questionable games are not permitted. Sports are not to be played on Sundays. Safety first. It is our intention to operate safe and efficient pilot program. Job site safety must be the priority of each ASW. Your efforts to maintain a neat and organized work environment will help to ensure the safety of your fellow ASWs as well. Again, we want productivity, but we don't want speed at the cost of safety. Because we did have one group that went and one of the young fellows got hurt and ended up being a big hospital bill, and the question, who's paying the hospital bill? And yeah, it gets to be a little bit of a challenge if something like that comes up. So let's try to play it safe and emphasize that to our young people. Visitors. All visitors must contact the project director for approval and to coordinate details prior to visiting the base. We really don't appreciate pop-ins. Cooperation, attitude, and evaluation. Flexibility, respect, teamwork, and kindness are essential characteristics for the success of this program. ASWs are expected to adhere to all further directives and guidelines as set forth by administrative staff. The project director and program coordinator are responsible to complete evaluation reports for each ASW. You will receive a copy of your evaluation as well. Please view the assessment as an opportunity to get to know yourself better and allow it to become a positive stepping stone in your life. See the sample. And then finally, Bible study devotional books used for the group study should be approved by the CASP committee. So this is the evaluation form. And your project coordinator and your house parents will sit together two times in a month, evaluate every ASW, and come up with a grade down here on the first one, the first 2 weeks. Now, one-on-one, I'm going to sit down with that ASW and go over his report and his grade and give him positive encouragements where he may have a negative grade. And this is based on attitude, cooperation, assumes responsibility, dependability, personal appearance, interpersonal relationships, communicating with others, participates willingly in activity, listens to others, considerate of others, punctual, job site skills, teamwork, quality of work, takes initiative, productive work, conscious about safety. So that grading happens in 2 weeks. Now he has another 2 weeks of program. At the end, he's graded another time. And this tracks whether that young man was able to hear counsel and improve or whether he wasn't. And this used to be an item that got sent to the Selective Services. Now it's just maintained at CAM. But Selective Services would have access to it. And so if you say, well, hey, I was on a CASP base, and by that time, of course, they'll know what that means, but His record shows that he wasn't very cooperative. They might wonder, was he really a CO? Anyway, it's a good evaluation. It's not a, you know, you don't feel like we're hammering these young men. It's a matter of helping them. And I'll tell you what, some of them ouched a little bit at the level of discipline that was expected of them. But I have yet to have one come back and say, you know what, I wish I wouldn't have went. I've heard again and again, and we get testimonies at the end from all of them. I am so glad that I went. This was transformational in my life. I have learned to love and know my brothers like I never did before. I like to tell them that, you know, on orientation day before they leave, I like to say, you know, today, you know, you're used to seeing each other in church Sunday and you're used to seeing each other in church Wednesday night, a couple hours a week. But now you're planning to go spend a month, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, rubbing elbows. I'm going to challenge you to find out if you really do love each other when you get back. And some of them say nothing when they get back. But some have said, yes, you know what, I really learned to know and love my brothers. And what I see as a positive there is, here are young men who have learned to work together, cooperate, unite, and they are going to be the next brothers conducting the brothers' meeting, making decisions for the church. It's also a side benefit. You know, everybody meant well, but our original churches were established very much as islands.
Yeah.
And that's not holding out. We need accountability. We need fellowship. We need a broader gene pool for our marriage relationships of our children. If I can say it as a geneticist. And so I think it's good for us to learn to work together. And CASP committees is actually a really beautiful place to learn to know brothers in other congregations you don't really know very well. All right, so I'm going to say those are positives. We're going to open up a time here for Brother Ken to come. Yes. Yep.
Any form that has that?
You're going to find a bunch of forms.
Three.
Yeah, there's three forms in the handbook, and if it has that star on, they need to have that. And what has traditionally happened is you send them to me, and I gather them all together and get them to CAM. Maybe I should explain how that's going to go. With just the Eastern region, when it was just Harmony, I was the chairman, so only the chairman goes to the board meetings. The only one man from us. So during the two May meetings in August, the rest of the committee is welcome to come, and it's a big meeting, and we have some special speakers and so on that go on in August. With Agape, with the rollover to Agape, the only sensible way that I could see that working is for us to have separate committees in each region, and then each chairman from that region will just communicate with me. We'll have a committee meeting once a year. I'll be updated with what you're doing in your committee and what's happening in your pilot projects, where you're at, and then I can go and communicate for now and have the vision, get the vision. I want one of you young ones to take my place. So anyway, that's the way it's going to start for now. I want to encourage you to just don't lay it aside. Don't tuck the papers in the back of your bookcase. Get busy working with your committee. I would love to hear it that two or three of our regions are down in Texas this fall. And I think it can be done, but we're going to have to keep stepping at it because it does take some time and coordinating things. Don't fear it. You know, we have one experienced committee here who has done it several times. There's a lot of easy ways to make communication with them, ask questions, what has to be done. But we're going to give you time right now. And Brother Ken, if you want to just come forward here, and we'll let you share anything you want to share, and then also field some questions. I mentioned the one thing that the chairman is supposed to do is make sure you get done on time.
Program now for the
going to say it is up to each committee to put together their handbook. This one will be a guide to you, but I would really encourage you don't deviate from it too far, because some of those things are spelled out by CAM.
I was wanting to endorse what you said, and I'm just hoping it is the guideline for all of us.
Well, that is your decision.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that, but I would like to see that happen, but I don't want to say it across the board, because it wasn't designed intending that to be that way.
It looked good to me. Kind of.
Did you want this recorded? Did you want me to wear
that? Might as well, yep.
Things to share. First of all, I'll say, as you understand, Brother Rick was our chairman, and I just took it over in the last couple weeks as chairman of our Harmony CAS committee. So he has done a lot in getting things going, and I told somebody else, I'm not Rick Hess, but I'll do what I can. We did go on the base once as I was coordinator. My wife was over the housekeeping things. But before I get on into that, I want to share something I heard somebody say in just the past year when you were talking about 1W in Vietnam. One of my friends, probably a year older than me, and I was born in 73, so that was the year the draft quit. But one of my friends said he found out he has a cousin he never knew before until this past year. His uncle was serving in 1W service in another state, and one night a woman invited him in to her house and committed fornication. He left, from there. She had another boyfriend. She had a child, put this child up for adoption. And just in the last year, somebody was doing DNA testing, and they figured out it was who the father was. And they made connections. So my friend met his cousin. He's like 50, 51 years old. He never knew before all his life. But just saying that to say this was a conservative person that went to serve in 1W service, and how awful what happened. It's real, and it just struck me in a new way hearing that. So, yeah, I think that's one thing I really appreciate, CAS, what is happening. Just share a few experiences from our time we were at Port Arthur, Texas in 2019, and I remember something somebody said this morning just made me remember this, but the one Sunday we were young men, we were out passing out tracts, inviting them to evening service. And somebody said, "What are you?" And they said, "Anabaptists." And they said, "Baptists? No, we're Anabaptists." "Oh, yeah, I've heard of them. They really live the Bible." And that just, yeah, I think that did something to the young men too. The other thing, we were on a base. This was continuous cast groups, and we were the last one in the year. And there was a gas station across the road, so one day I was fueling up trucks, and the lady was just swearing at the lady out through the mic out at the pump, really majorly. And finally I just said, "I don't appreciate that." And she didn't say much. Then she said, "Oh, are you part of that Amish group over there that from the church?" I said, "Yeah." I mean, we weren't literally Amish, but what I was saying, they recognized something through the other groups they saw. It wasn't just about us, but we represent, when we're a part of CAS, we're representing CAM and all the other churches more than just us. And the same when we would go to Lowe's, I would have to buy materials for these jobs through their accounts. But I could tell the people that worked at Lowe's I dealt with, you could tell they appreciated the former coordinators and the connection, their interaction. They had respect for us. Before we came, I could tell right away they had respect for us because of the people before us. So that's just a few of experiences, but yeah, it was a real blessing. I could share more, but I think I'll open up for questions. What are your questions today? Yes?
This might be more for Phil or somebody else, but you're talking about the cost being covered by the church. Mm-hmm. If it's a disaster response service project, or how do you figure out the cost, or how do you go about that? And then does CAM say how much the project costs and we reimburse them, or how does that all that work?
If I recall, Cam had the base set up. They said so much to use the base and so much to use the trailers, if I recall right. I don't know the exact amount. We just, our Harmony Cast reimbursed Cam for the use of it. But it was all prepared and all set up.
Maybe I'll just clarify a bit there. So generally, like we did in Port Arthur, we set up at a church, and by the end, we were paying them $2,000 a month for the use of the facility. And so we were asking cast groups to contribute at least $1,000, and Cam would pick up the rest, or whatever the group wanted to contribute. But generally, if you're on a cast base, $1,000 a month, you know, we could easily use that to pick up some costs, and we cover a lot of the rest. But in your mind, generally, $1,000 project for camp. Mm.
So you set up a fund, and then people donate into that, and then you just use out of that.
Okay, how we did with funding, we would have an offering. Each congregation that's involved, we would ask them to have at least one offering before we would go, and then that comes to, we have a Harmony Cast has their own treasurer, and it would come there, and he would pay out of that. But so far, if I recall, we just had one offering each time, and it easily covered it.
Just to clarify, what did you use those funds for precisely, except what he was saying as far as funding the base?
Well, you know, all the groceries, rent for the things. We had it for staff, if they want to be reimbursed, or especially they might drive their personal vehicle down. We kind of left it up to them. We would cover gas, and I guess we would offer wages if they needed something, or to
not
cover
so much wages, but what we usually did, I didn't want to limit young couples with a debt burden from going. So we would offer to pay their household expenses without embarrassing anybody. We put all the leaders' household expenses, if they had any, together, and it was just declared as household expense. So their electric bill and phone bill, and those kind of bills that come every month, whether they're there or not, need to still be paid. So we wanted to make sure to help with that.
And obviously, some people are at different stages of life financially, and that could, some might have covered about everything, some of the staff. But we, as Rick shared, we would cover the transportation for the ASWs if it was stateside, but not international. But that's the way we would do it, yeah.
So obviously, if it's a DRS project, before or after, it would continue kind of the same practice you do on DRS, where you, if CAM is supplying the materials for the project, basically CAS is supplying the volunteers and the cost of the volunteers.
Yeah,
what if it's a different project, not a DRS project?
Projects are usually funded either by, you know, whatever organization you're working with, or or camp. Material is not CAS group.
Okay.
But maybe some rent, and some CAS groups will buy some tools, or different groups do it differently.
What has been an experience is the DNR supplied materials for some of the projects, trail building and whatever in national parks, or how has that worked?
Yeah, the forestry projects, they supply everything.
Government supplies.
Yeah, tools, everything.
I think if I'm not mistaken, the one that's up in Minnesota, in the borderlands, they actually supply food.
Yeah.
They bring out bear-proof barrels by boat and bring them once a week, so we only have some to
Good.
And one of the things we found as we were down there, I wasn't on the committee yet, but I would contact Brother Rick, things like, what all do we cover? Okay, we're going to go. Weekends we often went sightseeing, Saturday, so we decided the young men will pay for, if we had any admission fees, to go in places, but cast covered transportation. That's just how we did it. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but a lot of those details each group will have to figure out. But there's a lot of decisions to make as you go along. I think somebody else had a question. Go ahead.
You had mentioned like 10 to 20,000. Is that an estimated cost per project that you were putting out there? Not covering materials or what you were talking about, Bill, as far as what you cover as a
band? Yeah, we've seen projects cost as much as 30,000 from some groups, but that was due to maybe the travel from the West Coast to the East to North Carolina, or you know, like extensive travel.
I do believe staff, depending if you pay, I gather there are some groups actually might pay staff a bit. I don't think we actually, you know, a wage or something, depending on your dynamics, that would really add up fast. And one thing too, expenses, depending on if you have eight young men, six young men or 15, would make a difference too. You're gonna have, it takes a bit of food and everything to for all them young men and transportation and gas. Any other questions? Go ahead.
So obviously if you're on a DRS project, I've been on multiple, but CAM already has the base set up, the things are there, projects are organized. If you find your own project, how much is CAM involved with finding a base, projects? Nothing? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that was one question. How many of you have ever been staff on DRS or rapid response? How many were volunteered already? Probably more. But if you've been staff, it's very helpful to go on a, if you go on a cast on DRS, just the way it functions, if you kind of run it like that, it's, except for evenings, it's a lot easier. It just takes a lot of the work out. And I mean, just the organization is a lot the same.
One thing I would clarify, so if, as the program grows, and you say, okay, we've got a project, a multi-year project here, we need a tool trailer, but we don't have to be dragging tool trailers all the way across the country, which we've just done in Colorado. We put a tool trailer out there. We would be willing to pick up, CAS picked up that cost, like assets, talk to us, we may be able to help you with that if it's a significant cost that is going to be a burden for you. Yeah, let us know. We'll work with you.
And that was one of the things I was thinking too. If you got to get all your own tools for a project, that is expensive. If I just go over a little bit our experience, and like I said, they're all different, but we had 15 young men, which was pretty many. It was a little more than we planned. And in that base, that was a year, I don't know if they do it all, but this was a cast base time after time. So we had a supply coordinator. So I was a coordinator, I was over the base, I was head over the base, but I was in charge of the building, you know, all that stuff. So we had house parents, just a little bit how we operated. So when we came back to the base, the house parent was in charge of devotions and all those things, lining up weekends, evenings, and that's not a little thing. It's good to have a house parent that's detailed, likes organizing things, because you have every evening you have activities and weekends, sightseeing maybe, and where you go to church, and fill in all the gaps and little odds and ends. And so let's say a typical morning, we had breakfast, devotions, and then once they're done with devotions, then I was in charge of giving direction for the day. Evenings or mornings, I had to talk to the crew leaders. What's happening? How's your jobs going? Do you need more men? Or, you know, are you getting done? That kind of thing. And then I would get supplies. I had to buy, you know, go to Lowe's and get supplies to the jobs and all that. So that's something, it's good to have some carpenter experience. Even The coordinators, or the house, if CAM has a coordinator, then you would have your in-house parent and crew leaders. It's good if someone, at least some, or handyman experience or some carpentry, depending on what you're doing. Mm. If you're building new houses or if you're just fixing is a difference. Going on with our experience, we had started, we had three official crew leaders, but we had so many small jobs, I was dividing people up to, sometimes we had five jobs going. And we put ASWs as crew leaders at times. And that we found interesting. Some could take it, you know, there's their peers are giving direction. There's a few that could hardly take it. And we had to work with them and try to communicate. And a few times we actually switched people on the job. But we did try to not just give the same ASWs opportunity to lead out. We would switch them around. But it was interesting to see personalities came out in that. But it was good for them. Another thing about, when we went, it was, my wife then was over the cooking, all the cooking, she was in charge of it, but they had clear roles, you know, so-and-so's gonna make meals such and such a day and stuff like that. They had it clearly laid out. Somebody was in charge of laundry, I think it was a house parent's wife. But they tried to have everything clear, who does what, who does the shopping. Just giving clear is very important, like you said, clear titles. This last project in Kentucky, the way it held out, there wasn't enough young ladies to help out, because when we went, we had some daughters along. So we had two single young ladies along. And we were like, is this a good idea? So we said not less than 25-year-old single ladies to be there. And I think it worked fine, but I did talk, got some feedback. Their recommendation was not to have them any younger than 25. 4 weeks and, you know, working together, they said they could see it as a problem if they're younger, or depending on their personality with, you know, with these young men all the time interacting. So just for what it's worth, that's what we did. It seemed to work fine, but they said not younger. Any questions that go along? Yes.
Maybe one plug for forestry projects. Mm-hmm. Forestry projects take less work for a crew leader or coordinator simply because the rangers are in charge of pretty much all the work. They'll tell you what to do, so it maybe takes less staff and also, yeah, just less organized because they're doing that part. But the downside is that there's not a lot of interaction with other people. Mm-hmm. These projects are usually in the wintertime. There's not many people at the park or whatever. That's how they like it. But so a lot of groups like to rotate, do a rebuilding and then a forestry. Each one has its pros and cons.
And I thought of mentioning that too, with you have to look at your skill levels of your people, possible staff, and if forestry would go better if you don't have much carpentry experience for staff is one of the things we talked about. Or we said even it would give opportunity for some to be leaders, be crew leaders, or be in charge of the group that are not skilled if you go with forestry sometimes. Otherwise, if we always do carpentry type of things, only certain ones are as qualified to be leaders because they're the ones that have the skill. So, any other question? I'll just go over some more things we found helpful. We, as staff, gave our staff one night a week off as a couple or family to just do your own thing, because it is intense. I mean, I think we got up at 6 o'clock in the morning and lights out was either 10 or 10:30. So you're kind of responsible all that whole time, you know, and I don't know, maybe you all like to go to bed at 10:30 every night. You know, I'm saying, and it's, so we tried to have it structured, but we gave the staff one night a week off, which seemed very helpful. The book studies.
Is this all written down somewhere, like a record of some of these?
My paper here, but it's just stuff that.
I can imagine a committee wanting to have those papers
okay.
in front of.
Yeah.
Started.
I could try to or get some stuff written down. I don't officially.
That's stuff that is not,
yeah.
you're not going to think about for the
yeah.
second time.
That's the thing. The first time, you learn a lot of things. I said, for all you on the committee, the best way to learn about it is to go on a project once. You learn a lot of things that I wouldn't know otherwise. Yeah. And like I said, it is just a thing that we learn. I'm not saying it's right or the only way, but the book studies, we would have, I think, two nights a week. Back then, if I recall, we used Church Matters for our study, and that was very interesting. It was, we would just sit in a circle and discuss. I would try to get them to read the next chapter until the next evening, and they would we'd sit down and discuss it. Usually, we had the, obviously, the house parent and or if you have a coordinator, and then the crew leaders often help lead out some of this stuff, especially depending on their age. That was very helpful. And the other thing is, you mentioned vocational training. From our project, I recall one of the young men taught electrical, another one something with computers, Excel, something, and I taught him reading blueprints. I brought a blueprint, and just that's just a little bit of example of what we did. Every, I heard the last time it was all different stuff. But it's just, and then that was three nights. I think Wednesday nights we often had like cottage meetings or singing home dedications or singing at old people's home. That was a lot of the evenings. What we had done, instead of having a whole evening of volleyball, we gave them 45 minutes of volleyball every night right after supper. And then we had our thing and then had our whatever teaching. Just saying there's different ways to do it. We like to get them a little bit energy off every day instead of a whole evening just playing volleyball. But every base is different. We had a gym there, so we, you know, not some bases wouldn't have that. Yeah, feel free to ask questions as I go along. Yes?
You might want to explain, you mentioned dedication.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe give some testimonies of how that went.
Yeah, usually when we were getting toward done with the house or when we're done, like a Wednesday night, we would go to the homeowner would be there, and our whole group would usually go. We would often, somebody have a devotional and do some singing, and then give a Bible storybook or a Bible, and then I think we gave comforters to them as a gift too. And that really meant a lot to them. The comfort just seemed to really bless them. And yeah, it really usually really touched them, that part of it, just they could just feel the care for them. And one of the other things while I'm thinking about them, the care for them or how the people felt, I was going to say, they were amazed that these young men come into their houses and the attitudes of the young men, that spoke to them. It just, they were cheerful, they had a work ethic, you know, that really spoke to the people. I'd say, you know, they were young men, not us older ones, it wasn't as big of a deal, but young men, it meant something.
Yeah.
And I know things that the young men saw left impressions. I remember the one house they were working in, people were living in quite a few of them because it was flooding. There was a pack and play, I think, from maybe here to that bench with a huge TV, and there's a 2 or 3 year old in there watching cartoons and nursery rhymes. And our young men, I just know that left an impression on them. Just this is what this child did in her grandma's house, in front of this huge TV, just hour after hour. So, you know, those ways, the young men, it spoke to them how good we have it, you know, some of those things. Go ahead.
How have you found, do you often have more people wanting to go on projects than they can, or do you often have to ask twice volunteers?
I don't. We never had to ask twice. Is the last time the first time we actually turned some away? I think. Or
last time was the first time. Well, was it this last time or the time before? I forget.
This last time.
This last time. But the first one we begged to get.
Yeah, the very first one was it was new and it was a bad time. It was like October, I think. Yeah, the last time then we decided if they were the way held up 20, 19 and up, they could go. That's why we drew the line. The 18-year-olds couldn't. We made a clear line. We still had a little more we wanted. But that yeah, I was like, he had Brother Rick had to write letters and say not. So yeah, it can be something if they're not familiar. Once they go once, they'll tell their friends what it was like, you know how it is, and they actually experience it and they know what it's like. Anybody else with questions?
We were wondering if any of the churches ever drafted anybody. We were with that brother's meeting talking about it before we came, and somebody said, well, what if nobody wants to go? We drafted them. I said, well, I guess
We never did. I guess my goal would be that each young man would go at least once to, you know, in their lifetime. At least that'd be a goal. I'm not saying it has to be, but yeah.
For all the begging we did on the first one, one of the young men that went along has been on three of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's an asset, just he's a little older then, he knows what he's doing, and if you have too many that are 18, of course, depending on maturity level, but it's different than if some 20-year-olds along. One thing I thought I'd mention, grading. Rick talked about grading the young men every 2 weeks. So how we did it, it was myself and the house parent that did the grading. We talked to our crew leaders because they were on the job with them, because some of that's about on-job conduct. We actually talked to our wives and the cooks because they saw them around the base too. And we talked to them and then we graded them. And then, as you said, we would bring one at a time into the office and talk to them. One mistake we made, you don't want to make them feel bad, so it's grade 1 to 10. If there was a weakness, we put, I think, a 7. And then the better ones are 9 and 10. Well, guess what? It looked like everybody did really, really good, which we should have started maybe if they weren't so good. 4 or 5, because if they improved, you know, the others were doing well, you don't have much higher to go, and it wasn't really reality. We were, you know, if they were the worst ones, we'd probably give them 7, and we should have started lower. And that was a little bit of, a few of them found it hard to accept some of the grades we gave, but we talked through it, and most of them, till the 4-week period came around, they had improved. So we tried to tell them, if they had a low grade, not to take it wrongly. This is, you can learn from it. You know, we're trying to help you learn an area, because it covers a lot of different areas, and some are weak in, let's say, leading out or you know, working with people. It's all different areas. So I think that way it's really good for them. Most of them, like I said, were improved over till the 2 weeks, 4 weeks were up. Any other questions? Phone use on the base, that we found interesting. One thing we found out, do you know that nobody carries a watch, a wristwatch or a pocket watch anymore? So you get into the job, you depend on your phone, so they don't have phones with, they don't have time. So that was one of the things we broke down, bring a watch along. It's a little thing, but it's, and we said no phones, but let's picture you have a job of 5 young men. The crew leader might want to send one of his workers to get materials or pick something up. He has the only phone. So the one that goes, you can't communicate with the one that went. So we often said crew leader could have a phone and one of the other workers, so they can communicate if one of them has to leave. It's just those little things that are like, yeah, we had to give exceptions. It was supposed to be just for that. We're trying to keep it fair to the others. Go ahead.
Now, when you did something like that, that phone stayed in the truck until it was needed, or did they actually?
I guess I can't answer that for sure if we made it that rigid, but that's each group has to decide. We probably gave it to one of the more mature ones that they were going to send for materials. The other thing, if the crew leader leaves the job and he's not there to give supervision, he probably knows more what's happening, so we'd rather almost send one of the others. So it's good to have a phone. And it's times for maps or something, they needed it too. If they were going for material, they needed their phone for maps. a little thing we did. Some of them had trouble with leaving stuff lay around. They would leave their Bible, they had devotions here in the morning, they leave it there and go to work, or stuff like that. So finally, I think it was my wife that decided that every time they do that, they got to put a dollar in the box to get it back. I remember at least one or so could hardly have it. It wasn't like it was that much money, but it did teach them some responsibility. And just, you learn a lot of little things about people in a 4-week time. Another thing we did, if you can picture, maybe I do have a schedule. No, I don't. Weekdays, I think the arrival, the rising time was 6 o'clock. And that was time for like personal devotions and this and that till 7. I'm not sure if I'm exactly right on the time. But 7 o'clock was breakfast devotions. One of the young men would have a devotion and then give assignment. Yeah, great. Thank you. Yeah, it was 6 o'clock rising, then showers and personal time. And then pretty much went into breakfast. And here it's 10:30, lights out. We did for a while go to 10 o'clock, but we just felt everybody was wearing out. But this last group actually had a problem with the young men wanting to get up too early. They said they're not used to sleeping, but the house parent told them, no, we're together, you work at this, we're all keeping the same programming. It was a different angle than we expected, but they said, well, they're used to getting up at 5 o'clock and stuff, you know. But they learned, you're part of the system, and after a while, it flowed smoothly. And so that's just one of the many things. It's about working together. We did get the young men to wash dishes almost every evening, was it? We had a schedule, you know, maybe 5 of them washed dishes. And if they were late, that was the other thing. For supper, we were all at the base again, and maybe breakfast. They're supposed to be there at a certain time. We decided they wouldn't always get there. And we decided to sing a verse of song, and if they weren't there by then, they had to do dishes an extra time. It's just one of the things. I think at one point maybe they didn't have watches, maybe they use that as an excuse, but after a while they just got with the system. It's just, it was interesting to see it all work out. Oh, I was going to mention too, we had a bunch of books along relating to non-resistance and what people face in past wars. I have a whole list here somewhere that one of the others had made up, but it's a whole sheet of books. We had them laying there. Those are pretty much all books that relate to war times, non-resistance. And it was, they were there for them to read in their spare time. It gave them something to do. And that seemed to help a lot, gave them something worthwhile to read. Any other questions? Vera, do you have anything that I'm missing that would be important to say about our time?
It was very good to tell your wives that we enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. It is.
What about if you have younger children for house parents that are still school age? Does that work well? Or
We did, and my wife homeschooled. You have to figure your staff accordingly. You almost know what the base looks like too, kind of how many children you can have, but everyone is set up differently. Some, if they have nowhere really to go, but the one we were at had plenty of room, and it was in Texas, so it was very warm. I don't know, I guess you, I don't remember, I was hardly ever at the base during the day. I think overall, from what we heard, almost every person that went as staff really enjoyed it. It depends if they have a heart for something like this, it's going to make a big difference. You know, they have a heart to serve and work with people. You have to be willing to like working with people and make work things out. And I'll say it again, I have clear expectations of who does what, and it can be even the cooks, maybe this is their meal to make, if that's how it's set up. And some women don't mind if another woman comes and just sort of helps, but others would be more like, this is my meal, that's what I'm doing. That's just personalities, you know, and expectations of communicating. We had our daughters as cooks, I think, yeah. They were maybe one of the cooks too. You know, they had slots of who does each meal. So it families can work as long as everybody knows what they're doing.
I'm thinking about a district problem. It's just a question. The things you're describing there requires a significant level of, you talk about these things, even write them down, or give it a list out or whatever. And as leaders, you know, ask these things to be in place. It seems to me that the person who is the house parent or coordinator, mm-hmm. very critical of the person. Mm-hmm. Am I missing something there?
Yeah,
it don't look like you just ask for volunteers and whoever wants to go, can go.
I think we always pretty much ask people to go. We might have known who might have wanted to, but especially the one house parent, it's very critical. Yeah, they're going to give direction, and if something comes up, they have to address it. And yeah, they're like a father figure, pastor figure for the 4 weeks. It is not a little thing. Yeah, it's something to consider. Mm-hmm. And I just have a list of, for the young men to prepare. Before they went, I can't find that list now, but it's good to, like, we had them teaching, especially depending where we went to church, have a devotional, lead songs. Sometimes we had church at the base. The one time we had invited Clayton Weaver, he was from in Texas, I don't know if you're, he's an older B2 man, shared his 1W experience in the afternoon. I think he preached for us in the morning. However your group decides to do it, if there's churches close by. But that was the thing, have the young men being prepared with a couple of devotionals, or they have to get them ready there. And every morning we had a list on the dry erase board. Fill in when you want to have your devotions, in the weekday mornings. We had somebody have a devotion every morning. Staff, we would also, but we had them all have their turn. We expected a lot of them being involved and being prepared to share. And even house dedications, sometimes they may have that kind of thing. It's a lot about them exercising their gifts or stretching them a little bit. It's a lot more than working on the job, but working on the job is a big thing too. But that's another whole, I was talking to somebody that's about the difference between this and being on a DRS base. You're keeping people occupied all the time. Weekends, evenings, too. That's one thing that's very different. Go ahead.
How about outreach? Did you do outreach efforts as far as passing out tracts and that type of, or ministering to the locals?
We did the one time we were going to pass out tracts for an evening service. We didn't a whole lot. I know this last group sang at nursing homes a couple times, and that's, you know, that seemed to be a blessing. It just depends on what's in your area. The day-to-day, and again, this is being on the job in construction, the day-to-day working, your homeowners are there some of the time. That's an opportunity. But yeah, it's, I guess, kind of wide open. Whatever your group decides they want to do when they're not on the job, yeah, there's a lot of opportunities. We also, I just looking here, evening, sometimes we had a book we were reading through. It was relating to wars and people that were COs during wars. We had a book we were reading through to fill in time sometimes. We had a little, an hour, half an hour here, just to, we read through as a group, read it. It's just one of the many things we did. And we also had locals come in, talk about their experience, where this was after Hurricane Harvey, talk about what had happened to them and their experience. That was another thing that's really nice to do a little bit of that if you can.